30th?
Right.
Tuesday, and I'm sitting in the study of Zalman Zilberzweig, and we're chatting. Now, actually, the first thing I really wanted to know is how you got involved in this whole
mess
of being a Yiddish theater scholar.
I'll tell you, my friend, Doctor. You see, first thing, I have to warn the people that with the English language, or I never studied English, and I traveled all over the world, occupied not towns but the languages, and except Yiddish and Hebrew, I don't think I'm perfect in any language. Even I talk and I understand by 6, 7, or maybe 8 languages, including English. Naturally, I don't think it's so nice being an American citizen and living in this very nice country, I would say the best in the world, but it's too late. I'm becoming this September, the 27th, 66 years, and I'm so tired up with work, and you can see it, what's going on here in my library, or in the studio, as they call it, that I have no time. I have wishes to learn English, but I have no time for it, except that I read a newspaper and listening to radio and television, and sometimes forced to talk English like today. So excuse me, I don't know to whom I'm talking. I mean, who will listen it, maybe in 50 or 100 years later. Maybe they will talk in that time English like I do. Because it's a long story.
Yes.
As I mentioned before, I'm the 66th year. I was born in a little town in Poland, and the name of the town is Ozorko. It's a little town, and that time, as my father told me, and after I found, that's a very interesting thing. Would you believe that in this little town was a man by the name Silverman, not Silberzweig, and in his time he published a very, I would say a brochure, at the beginning, of a dictionary, Jewish and Arabic. Naturally, it was a sugar. I mean, they would be afraid to sit down with him alone. But anyway, I mean, in that little town at that time already were people called maskilim. Maskilim, I would say, people with intelligent people that studied not only the Holy Script and the Talmud, but even outside books, that they called it, outside books that didn't come by Jews, but were written by Gentiles or out. Classics of Greeks, or so. My father was among them. He was a very, I would say, Orthodox Jew. But in the same time, his eyes were open for the world. I was 2.5 years when my parents moved to a large town, the second town. My parents moved to a large town, the second town in, you know, the first town is Warsaw, and the next town, called the Polish Manchester, is Lodz. And they went there. And being a Polish Jew, and maybe time ago they wouldn't understand it, but the Polish Jews had their merits, but in the same time, I would say they didn't know, they wouldn't, you couldn't call them very intelligent even in Hebrew. They learned Talmud, but they omitted to learn the Bible. This is a thing I'm not going into it. So my father, being a Polish Jew, decided that I should go to a cheder. It means a Hebrew public school in that time, an Orthodox, by a Jew that came from Lithuania, because the Lithuanians were known as people that know better Hebrew, and they admired to teach and learn the Old Testament. So he gave me, and this was already a thing that the Polish Jews didn't like, to recognize that the Lithuanian Jews are better, I mean, are greater, more they know better Jewish history or other things. So he gave me into the school. Then to other schools. And I remember very well my mother, always in a very Orthodox Jewish woman that studied every Saturday, she learned in Yiddish, learned the whole, the Old Testament, and she wondered every year, how could it happen that Joseph was a clever man, and he didn't know that his brother's going in to sell him. And she cried every time like it just happened yesterday. But in the same time, as she was a very Orthodox woman, she sang the songs of Goldfaden. And this, she looked at that as a part of Judaism, like the Bible, the same thing. She had no definition between, as we call it, secular and religious. She looked at this. So from the beginning, and I had a nice voice, so I sang as a youngster. I started to sing these songs of the Yiddish theater, and later on the Hebrew songs, like Hatikvah, other things. This was the beginning, I would say, the beginning, the A of my connection with theater. Then the whole stories in the Bible, I looked at them, maybe now I can see it, that I have seen in them theater. And everything what happened, what's going, all these stories, and there are lots of stories, you know, in the first Genesis, what's the name of
Genesis?
Yeah. Genesis. There are a lot of stories, and now you can see that the movies are making all, they came to that conclusion, and I, as a youngster, I have seen it already. But I remember my father opened the first bookstore of Jewish and Hebrew books in Lodz. In the same time, another man opened the store, and by the way, his name was Valach, and his brother was Litvinov, and I remember him very well, that Litvinov. His brother, he came Maxim once, Maxim Litvinov. His name was as I mentioned before, yes. His brother opened. His brother opened a store too. But my father was the first one. And then my father, as a youngster, wrote from his little town and later from Lodz, as we say it, contributions to the Hebrew newspaper. So I remember at 12 years, when I was 12 years old, or 11 I would say, a friend of my father took This is a very, I would say, a rough adaptation of Shakespeare's Hamlet. I was amazed to see it. One thing I couldn't understand. I can understand, even as a youngster, how a man can change his face. This I couldn't. But I couldn't understand. I just have seen a garden. Now it's a home. How can it be? Where is the garden? That's Kishir. You know what it
means?
Magic.
Yes.
So this was the first performance. And after that, it took me like a fire immediately. And I started to go to the theater and remember that Lodz was a town that included four towns, four cultures. It was Poland. It was Russia, occupied by Russia. So Russian troops came always, all the best troops from groups, I mean theater groups from Russia came. Polish, and the Polish theater was a wonderful theater always. Yeah, the Polish theater, Polish actors included the charm of the French people, the imagination of the Russians, and the well talk of the Germans. So this is Polish theater. I admire it very much. I've seen it later. I mean, when I came back already from America, same thing, same impression I have. And German theater, we had a daily German theater, and the best actors, Zonenthal, played in our town. And I have seen other people. I have seen Bond, Ferdinand Bond, that wrote Keane, he rebuilt it. Sherlock Holmes, he wrote a play. I have seen a lot of the wonderful German Jews sometimes, but German actors and Yiddish. So they have. Jews sometimes, but German actors and Yiddish. So they had four types of theater, and I have seen all of them. Once I fall in love with a play that I have seen in Russian by the brother Adlein, a well-known actor in that time, Keane. Keane, you know, it is a play of the life of the actors. And immediately I became one of them. I felt that this play is the credo of an actor. I translated it immediately, and in 1913 I published it. So these plays that I have seen in all these four kinds of theaters brought me nearer and nearer to the theater. And being that my father was after the store, the bookstore, he published the first Jewish daily in, not in Warsaw, but as they call it in the country, the first country Jewish New. He was one of the publishers, three people.
By country you mean provincial?
Provincial, yeah. Town. Yeah, the second town, it's not a little town. Yes. So I start there in 1910. I translated there one humorous, and was published. I was in that time, in the 16 years, so now it became 50 years when I start to print in Yiddish. Translations, I start the translations, then other things, but it's exactly 50 years that I start with my pen. That time we had no typewriters. So being surrounded, as you hear, from one side by the songs by my mother, from the other side, the culture that my father gave me, all the Hebrew literature, I would say, the whole Hebrew literature, as a youngster, I ate more books than food. I would say, not exaggerating, that I read a book a day. I would say over 300 books a year. So in a few years, naturally, it's a mix-up. I don't remember as other, and this would be very good for me, being today a speaker, if I could use, exploit all these things. I cannot, but in the same time, this doesn't change the situation that I read a lot. I would say the whole Hebrew literature and the whole Jewish, Yiddish literature, I read as a youngster. You can imagine I read, let's say, being 12 years old, I read Germanow by Zola. You know, the life of the prostitute. I didn't understand what it means, but I read it. You know that years ago, and even today, children of 4 or 5 years, when they start to learn the Talmud, sometimes there is a whole book about women, all these things, I mean, sexual life, they learn. They don't understand nothing, but this they have to learn. Later on, they will answer the same thing. So I became nearer to the theater. And I start to play with amateurs in Yiddish. Then I organized amateurs in Hebrew. And the first thing that I did, I translated, I played Samson and Delilah by Sven Lange. You know, this is the play that Ben-Ami became so famous, and through this play, he played it first in America in Yiddish, and they have seen him, that took him over to the English stage.
Author again?
Sven Lange. He's a Jew. You don't be so afraid of the name. He's a Jew. He and his wife is the main part in the play is the man, naturally, and the wife, Dagmar. And Dagmar is his wife, an actress. And the whole story that he tells in this story is really, it happened in his home. And he was a director of a Royal Theater in Denmark. Yeah. So he wrote that play. And I translated this play, and I played it. And I have seen it before in Polish. And very, very well-known Polish actor. And he became, I asked him, and he became the director of the play with me. He directed my play with amateurs. I played with a few actors too. But the main thing that I think the most important thing is that I came to the idea to make a change about playing in Hebrew. Let me explain what I mean. I was not the first to play in Hebrew. There were before me. They started to play Hebrew in schools, by occasions, you know. And then a well Hebrew and Jewish poet, Yitzhak Katzenelson, he was murdered by the Nazis, well-known, one of the most important in his time. He wrote a lot of plays in Hebrew, and he played them with his family. You see, their opinion was, the main thing is to know the language. Play it, that's a sideline. I said, the main thing is to play. Language you can learn. So I came at that time with a proposition. And this was the first performance by an actor in Hebrew. I came, in that time we had in Lodz, well-known group theater, and the head was Mr. Julius Adler. He played later with Schwartz. He was the Schwartz of Europe. All the Gordon plays, the most of them, he brought from America and played them. So we knew Gordon only through the Adlers, and later he brought these plays for Esther Hokaminska too, through him. See, he was the man, illegally, you know, but he brought all these plays, Gordon's plays, the most of them, to Europe.
He was the liaison man.
What?
The liaison.
Oh, yeah. And he played them, too.
Yes.
And through these plays, he became the big actor. Because in the other plays, in the operettas, we had better ones. So you can imagine a boy. I was born in 94, so 6 and 12. In the 18th year, I came to that well-known actor, and he was, I would say, like the English people, you see, you don't know me, how can you talk to me? So I told him, I came with a proposition to play in Hebrew. He said, Hebrew, I don't know. I said, I will teach you. And really, I translated for him every word. You see, he knew the play, he played it before in Yiddish, and I have seen him. But I had to translate word by word, not the meaning he knew, but word. And therefore, I became the prompter. And we made the first performance by an actor, member. And among this group was a man, a teacher, that became later on the head of the Habima, Menachem Genesia. He played with us too.
And this was in Lodz.
In Lodz, yeah. And then after we played these, I came with another proposition to play, and it was a tremendous success. Even he made a speech later on. Naturally, I prompted the speech too. And then I came with a proposition to play the new Ghetto by Herzl. We played it, was tremendous. Then I came with another idea to go to the Zionist Congress in Vienna. And we went there. We went there and we played there in Hebrew. It was a tremendous, not success. People were busy. And another thing, we had a competition. Zemach, Nachum Zemach, the founder of the Habima, he, in that time, he organized a group in Bialystok. This is too, a Polish-Russian town. He organized a group calling Habima, the stage. Yeah. So he came with a play, Shema Yisrael. If you remember, at that time, it was a tremendous success. Listen, yes. Israel, by Dimov.
Yes.
He came with that play also, with his group. So two groups, more actors than listeners, than public. And he went back, and then he came to Russia. You know what happened to Habima? It's another chapter. So I...
But the Habima actually started, the
germ
of it started?
In Poland. His group started in Poland.
Yeah.
So I look at me as, I would say, if you can be a few fathers, one of the fathers of the professional Hebrew theater. Not only on Yiddish, but on the professional Hebrew theater. But coming back to the Yiddish theater, being with this actor, Julius Harlett, I call you, he knew that I, and at that time was published already my translation of Keane, so he engaged me to become, like we had it years ago, he came from America, knew that every theater had his writer. So he engaged me. Naturally, I was not a writer like the other ones, I mean, to write my own plays, but he engaged me as a translator and an adoptioner, if you can call it. So the first play that I translated and that was played was a German operetta, Robert and Bertram, an operetta. Naturally, I don't write songs, lyrics, so a man by the name Bonvol, he became later a well-known Jewish writer, not a writer in books, but a writer for theater. He was murdered by the White Russians. His daughter, Rachel Bonvol, is a poetess in Soviet Russia. So this was the first play, then Adler engaged me, opened a theater in Lodz, he engaged me, and they played every 6 weeks. I had to give them a translation. And I became a member of an organization, Soyuz Dramatischer Musikalischer Pisateli of St. Petersburg. It means the Organization of Playwrights. And the uncle of the Tsar was the president of that organization. As a Jew, I had no right to come to Petersburg. So they invited me to the meetings. Every year they had a meeting. A few days later, I got the letter to come the 17th, I got the letter the 19th. See? And this was accepted. I got $30 a month by the theater. They paid me every night, as the rule, for each act. Let's say I translated Hamlet for them. So it's five acts. So it's 3 rubles for each act every night. Matinees, it's 2.10. So they played one play after the other, and I gave them a short time. I gave them Hamlet, Keen they played. They played a play, Hintermorn, or the Yiddish Gläubigen, that's by Henry Nathanson, a play. It's a Danish Jew, too. And they played Samson and Delilah, my translation. And they played Verbrechen Struf, by Dostoevsky.
The Broken Curse?
No, Verbrechen Struf, that's... crime and punishment.
Oh, crime and punishment.
Yes. Yeah. Crime and punishment.
Okay, okay.
And other place. So it was a time that night after night I was on, I was played, I mean my translation. They started one play and they finished other. I made a lot of money. I'm not going to tell you what happened to that money. You know, the war burned it. I had it in the bank of the Russian government. So then when the war, and then a year before the war, I got a job at an advertising office. So you see, always, surrounded with these groups of people. It was by an Austrian, Metzl. On account of the war, naturally, I couldn't work more, that this office was closed. So I became a contributor in a newspaper. Newspaper that my father founded and left it later. So I had to make, well, I used the word to make, novels for them. They gave me a romance, they call it a romance, a whole story, and I had to rebuild it, to localize it. They advertised it a few days before. And when I came every day to the newspaper. When I came, and where is the star? What do you advertise that book? By another man, he said, this is yours. I didn't know even. So I had no time to read it even. And I had to give copy, you know. So after the end, in time of war, I worked as a social worker. And in the middle of the war, this newspaper was closed because it was pro-Russian and the Germans closed it. But later we opened the newspaper and I became inside, and a staff member. And then I start to play again with amateurs.